One new Bible. All right. Well, good. Good. All right. Let's open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. The Gospel of Luke chapter 15. Last week we started this parable, and we got through what I call the first two stanzas of the parable. Singular parable, but it has three stanzas or three separate stories that the Lord Jesus told. The first being of the lost sheep, and how the shepherd went and left the 99 and went after the one. And when he found it, there was great rejoicing. And then the second stanza or the second story talks about the lost coin and how the lady started searching frantically after this lost coin. She has a lot to say this morning. She's telling us about it. So she was frantic looking for this lost coin. And we saw in both of these examples that when they found what was lost, there was great celebration. There was huge rejoicing over the fact that the lost had been found. And so today we pick up about the third stanza or the third story of this parable about the lost son, the parable of the lost son especially. And so it seems that this story is really well known throughout the world, exactly. And most everybody, when you talk about the prodigal son, most everybody understands this story. They know what they've been talking about. So it's been told over and over and over again, like most of the Word of God. But this particular parable is so meaningful, I think, that most of us can relate to, especially because of this prodigal and what he did and the decisions he made in those things. And then it's such a blessing of God's grace and mercy to see what the Father did. And so we'll pick it up here in Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And then he says, then he said, a certain man had two sons. Now the Lord Jesus starts this out by pointing out that there's two sons. He makes it really clear, and it's an important part of the parable to understand that this certain man had two sons. And we'll talk about both of them as we go through the parable. And then verse 12 says, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. Give me the stuff, Father. Give me what I need. See, the word prodigal means basically wasteful. Wasteful. And it's truly a prodigal son indeed who says to his father, I want the goods, but not a relationship with you. I want your stuff, but I don't want to hang around and have a relationship with you until you're gone. I want it now, you know. And so we were the same way before we opened up our hearts to the Lord. While we were out in the world as lost sinners, we were the same way. We wanted everything we could get, and we wanted it now. You know, of course, the saying started back in the 60s, go for the gusto. You know, get it all you can was the terminology. You know, look out for you. You're number one. Get everything you can get. You know, you deserve a break today. I don't know how it ties with McDonald's, but some reason it does. But anyway, you know, that's kind of where we were before we open up our lives to Jesus Christ. We're like that living. We were living wasteful lives. We were living for self and only our self-righteousness and not living for anything with eternal purposes. And then he goes on in verse 12. He says, the father goes, so he divided to them his livelihood. So the son asked for it. And the father, in his wisdom in the story or whatever, went ahead and just gave it to him. He didn't argue the point. He didn't debate with him. He just divided up his livelihood, it says. And see, our Heavenly Father, and of course the Father in this parable is symbolic of our Heavenly Father. And our Heavenly Father knows the end from the beginning. And so sometimes when we ask Him for some really dumb things, He allows them into our lives, knowing that there's going to come a place and a time where we will just let go and let Him really deal with some of these areas. And so He divided to them His livelihood. Then it goes on to verse 13. It says, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Not many days after, he gathered all together. In other words, he had to sell some of those possessions. He couldn't take the sheep and the goats with him. He couldn't pick up a plot of land, take it with him. And so whatever was a part of his father's livelihood that he inherited and he received was divided up to him. He had to pretty much turn over for cash. He had to turn over for the almighty dollar in our day and age to get as much money as he could. And you know, it's weird how sometimes we think, if I only had this much money, wow. You know, and yet when we get that much, it seems like we're never satisfied. You know, I've told the story before about the lady that was sitting at her cubicle at work, and she was just like, oh, if I only had $100. And she kind of said it out loud. Well, her boss walked by and heard her, and he put a $100 bill on her desk. And as he walked away, he heard her say, oh, I should have said $200. You know, we're never satisfied. So here we have this father. He divides up his possessions. And then not many days after, the son sells it, and he goes off to the far country to waste it. And verse 14 says, but when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. You notice that sometimes you get a whole bunch of cash, and you think, man, I'm going to get this and this and this, and you're all excited about it, and you start buying a couple of things, and before long, it's like, man, where did it all go? It just disappears so quickly. You know, we put so much stock sometimes in material stuff and in money and monetary value of things, and it can flee so quickly. It can be gone with such a quick instant, you know, it's there. So a severe famine came about, and it seems that way that when we get into a far country, away from the Lord, it seems like we start to really experience a famine. And the reason being is usually what's drawn us to that far country is that we've not been reading, we've not been praying, we've not been feasting on God's will for our life and on His Word. And so when we get out to that far country, we can be like this prodigal. We end up finding that we're in want because all of a sudden we're dry. We're just spiritually away from Him, and we don't sense His presence, and we don't know why a lot of times. We just know that this isn't good. This just doesn't feel right. I don't like this when we're out there. And so verse 15, after he began to be in want, verse 15 says, then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. So first he joins himself to a Gentile, which was not the right thing to do for a Hebrew young man. And now he finds himself, this Gentile sends him out to feed his pigs. He sends him out to give the pigs their food and just be out there in the pig's life. That's the even worst for a Hebrew to be dealing with that. And then verse 16, while he was there feeding the swine, it says, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. See, he had lots of friends until the money was gone. And once the money was gone, he had to go join himself to this Gentile, ends up in the pigsty working, and then he sees that the food that the pigs were eating was even better than what he was getting to eat. He would have gladly been able to pick some up and eat of that. Because, see, when you're out in the pig sly, pig slop never satisfies. It just will not satisfy you. The things of this world, be it through career, be it through money, or goods, or toys, or just little trinkets, whatever it is, whatever it is you're trying to find fulfillment and satisfaction in other than the Lord, you'll find that you thirst again. It will never satisfy. The Lord is the only one that will truly satisfy. He tells us in John 6:35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me should never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. That's a big, powerful statement. But when you think about it, when you consider your walk with Jesus, when you consider the more that you want His desires in your life, then you believe, you begin to realize that you don't have that many more needs and that many more wants and that many more desires, because Jesus meets them all. It's not like trying to get just that perfect car or trying to get that perfect house or that perfect relationship, because when we get them, then they're not perfect. Oh, I should have said $200. You know, we just, the only place where we're going to truly find true contentment is in Jesus. Because when we take in of him, like it says here, we will never hunger. We will never thirst of anything that's really important to us, because God will be there. He will meet us right where we're at for every little thing we need. And so then we go on in verse 17. And it says, but when he came to himself, I like that. When he came to himself. How many of us have found ourselves out in that far country? Out in that place, you know, we've been walking with the Lord for a while, and then all of a sudden, something comes up, and next thing we know, it's like, boom. We don't get up in the morning and plan on it, but as the days progress, and especially if we haven't been reading, if we haven't been praying, all of a sudden we find ourselves in that far country, and we become kind of like this prodigal son. We come to ourselves. We realize, wait, this is not who I am. You know, the Bible says that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All the old is gone. Everything becomes new. That word new means different. We are different people when we're born again, when we have that relationship with him. And when we step out of being religious and come into a relationship with him, then we're a new, different creature. And yet, sometimes we try to go back to that far country. Sometimes we try to go back, and then we find ourselves there, and hopefully we come to ourselves, just as a prodigal. And he came to himself. And when he came to himself, it goes on, verse 17, he came to himself and said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and even to spare? I add even there, even and to spare, and I perish with hunger. He's thinking about his father's servants. Man, they get fed regularly. And I'm here starving. I'm hungry. Verse 18 says, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. So he came to himself. He gets to a place where he realizes that, you know what? I want to go back to dad's house. I want to go back, and I don't expect to be a son any longer. I just want to go back and be one of his servants. Because look at, I remember how good his servants were fed. Maybe he even possibly, when he was younger, maybe he even took food to his father's servants. Maybe he even realized, man, they're eating pretty good for being servants. But he had this awareness. But he said in his mind, I have sinned. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Well, you know, and he says, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. In Psalm 51, we see David having this prayer. He says, against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. See, our Heavenly Father is a just and righteous judge. See, because we've sinned against him, that he's considered just. And the consequences we go through for that sin, we deserve. And yet he took the ultimate. coworkers or co-workers, those people, that, especially if they've walked with the Lord at one time and are out in that far country on themselves, to be able to carry the observe through these three things that virtually any sin that we do can be categorized under one of these three characteristics. They're kind of like the outline heading, and everything we do can fall into one of these three. To the one who stubbornly chooses to walk in rebellion, but they can't figure out how someone could be so dumb as to wander off in foolishness. So all three of these, we have this mixture. Sometimes we'll relate to the people that are foolish, sometimes the ones that are rebellious, but other times the ones that are just you know, out there in lost in carelessness. But never all three, it seems like. They just can't figure out how somebody could be so dumb and so foolish to wander off. Well, here's the good news. Praise God. Here's the good news. The Father, our Father in heaven, feels compassion on all three every time. Just like the father in this story, when he saw his son from afar off, he had compassion. Our Heavenly Father has compassion. Our God doesn't say to the foolish man, "You idiot. How could you have done that?" He doesn't say to the one who was abused, "Grow up and get over it." He doesn't tell people that. Or he doesn't say to the rebellious, "You're getting what you deserve." That's not our God. That's not the way he does things. No, instead, he runs. He runs to meet all three equally the moment they turn toward him. He runs to meet them, just like in that video, seeing that father run and hug that young man, and the young man getting down on his knees and repenting in that way. See, that's the kind of God we serve, is that God that is waiting and watching for the sinner just to say, "I'm sorry, Lord." And boom, he's right there, instantaneously to meet us. So there's two sons in this parable. And last week when I was at Calvary Downtown Outreach, I taught this same area of scripture. And I taught there, though, that there's actually that point, at that place, he could have just that robe of righteousness that we can't get on our own. Ephesians says that it's not by works lest any man should boast. It's by grace through faith that we have righteousness. We have that right standing through that robe of Christ. He's given us that ring. Eternal life. The kingdom of God is waiting for us. The kingdom of heaven is there, and all of the things that we're sending up there, they're safe. They're in safe company. And then, of course, like I said, he's given us the feast. The feast of his word. Who could ask for anything? We have the word of God. It's real. It's alive. It's sharper than a double-edged sword, able to divide us under the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. Man, that means when we talk it out to somebody, it's coming back at us too. We can apply everything we share with others. So today, the prodigal son, he came upon himself. He came to himself. He realized, this ain't me. For each of us, if we find ourselves in that far country, to come to yourself. Maybe you're here today, and maybe you're in a far country. Maybe you've been in a far country. Maybe it's time to come back. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus. Maybe it's time just to say, I need Jesus as my Savior. If that's any of those, I want to pray for you before we close service. So let's pray right now.